Hey Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the latest episode of the Gov Talk podcast. Bryce here with Chris. Chris is back with us. We're going to be recapping the Georgia game today. Chris, what's up, man?
What's going on?
So, yeah, the Georgia game, I think it's fair to say that it went better than we expected.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, I don't really believe in moral victories, but, you know, there was a lot of positives to take out of that game and a lot of things that I would say even the biggest Govs fan probably didn't expect. So, hats off to the guys and the coaching staff.
Yeah, for real. I mean, they were prepared. They weren't intimidated. The moment didn't seem too big for them. They just looked like the Govs, man. They had that same energy they had in week one. Obviously, you're playing a much better opponent. You're playing one of the best teams in the country. But to see that they didn't back down. They didn't play scared. Obviously, we'll get into it for anybody who wasn't able to watch. The final score was 28-6, and you know, you might be thinking, like, why are you so happy? It was, you lost by 22 points. But like I said, this is a top five team in the country. This is a team that's won multiple championships, you know, in the last decade. They might win it this year. It's one of the best teams you can possibly play. And Austin Peay lost by 22. I mean, Georgia beats a lot of SEC teams by more than 22. And I mean, no shade to Marshall, but Georgia played Marshall in week one, and they beat Marshall 45-7. Yes. So, and Marshall is a FBS team. So, we hung with them pretty good, I would say.
Yeah, I think, you can take a lot of positives. Like you said, they didn't back down. And I think what was more impressive than anything, other than the obvious goal line stand, which was nothing short of but amazing, not allowing any passing touchdowns. I thought that was impressive
for sure. I mean, that's one of my notes here. In the first game, Gunnar Stockton, Georgia's quarterback, had two touchdown passes and he ran for two scores. And then against Austin Peay, he didn't have a terrible game by any means, but he did not have like a dominant game. He was 26 of 34, 227 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. I think that's definitely something that the defense should hang their hat on. They held an SEC high-powered offense to no passing touchdowns. They had all four of their scores were rushing touchdowns. They had two by each running back, but they didn't kill us through the air. I mean, 227 passing yards. You're going to win a lot of games when you're playing a team that's closer to your talent level. If you hold them to 227 yards, you're probably going to win that game.
Oh, 100%.
That's very impressive. I thought, once again, we'll go over the stats. I mean, our offense, Chris, before we get into our stats, what did you think of our offensive performance? Because we think the defense did pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, Parsons, I mean, he went 16 of 23, 151 yards. Through his first pick of the year, which I don't really look into too much in that interception. That was a good play by the defense. Tip ball. You get a tip ball, that's 50-50.
Yeah.
So that could really go either way. So, but I thought he did. I thought Chris looked, he didn't look out of sorts. He looked comfortable. Didn't let the moment get to him. As far as the rushing goes, that's a little concerning. But again, you are playing Georgia, a top five team, a team who is relatively known for defense, being very good defensively. So I don't know if you really want to look into that too much for this game. Now, if you had the same this weekend against Moorhead, I'd be a little bit more concerned. But something like against Georgia, not real too concerned about it. But then Kamari Maxwell, that catch he had early in the first half was
Yeah, he
top
looks
10,
good.
top 10 worthy in my opinion.
He
So,
looks good.
yeah, no, I mean, 6 points, but again, your defense came to play for you. I think there was a 1 point right before halftime, right? I think that drive right before the goal line stand, I mean, they could have made it 14-10.
Yep.
I mean, it was real close. And you get it to 14-10, then it gets really interesting.
Yeah, it was
So.
definitely, there was some missed opportunities, could have been closer, but that's to be expected. I mean, you're playing a raucous environment, great team. I think I want to go back to something you said though, the ground game. Again, like you said, you're not going to read too much into it against Georgia. Like you're not going to expect to run for a ton of yards against Georgia, but it is the second week in a row that our ground game hasn't really done anything. Like in the first game, I think Simmons had 35 yards and led the team. And then in this game, Richardson had 33 yards and led the team. So, you have like 80 rushing yards combined in two games. That's not encouraging. I mean, that's kind of scary, but that's something that could be, obviously you're not going to complain about it from the first game because you ended up winning the game easily. And then the second game, you're playing an SEC team. So I don't know if you can really read too much into it yet, but it is something that I'm keeping an eye on. You don't have Lavelle Wright back there anymore.
Yeah, I'd like to see. Hopefully, we'll talk about it Thursday, but hopefully that's some things that they can kind of clean up. You got a good opponent. You got an opponent, that you can probably work on some stuff this coming Saturday at home with Moorhead. So, yeah, hopefully they can look into that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think going back, Maxwell had a good game, led the team in yards. Kirk, led the team in receptions. He's like Parsons' security blanket. He didn't have a lot of stuff, opportunities down the field because they were just trying to get the ball out of Chris's hand and get it to somebody quick. And he kind of excelled at that. So it's been cool. He's a good receiver, man. I think he's going to do some damage during conference play. And then
Yeah.
Carson Smith, man.
Carson Smith, yeah, 40, two field goals, 44 and 43. So, you got to like that going into, about 2 weeks removed from going into conference. You got that weapon, just because, you get stopped at the 35, 40 yard line, you got a pretty good kicker that can kick from a well good distance.
Yeah, I mean, in
So,
conference play, you're probably going to have some close games, so
absolutely.
his leg could end up being the difference. I thought the Ellis, he had another huge game, led the team, 11 tackles. That dude is crazy. Like he just is all he just teleports to the ball. Like whoever has the ball, he's around him, and it's he's a tackling machine. I mean, and I don't know if like cornerbacks typically don't lead the team in tackles, and he's done it 2 weeks in a row. Like you typically wouldn't see that. Like in the NFL, you would not typically see a corner leading the team in tackles. And then Hood and Ellis both had a fumble recovery. That was another thing. They did force two fumbles, which was cool to see. They definitely did not make it easy on Georgia. It's not like Georgia was just moving down the field at will and they had no adversity. I mean, they definitely had some frustrating. Kirby Smart was pissed at halftime. I don't know if you saw that.
Oh, yeah, I did. I
Like he
did.
was not happy. He was, I mean, he's a perfectionist, they have a great team. They expect perfection. So he was not very happy with how sloppy they looked. And he didn't say it outright, but I think he was pretty pissed at I think he was pretty pissed at Stockton. Because Stockton did not, I mean, credit to Austin Peay, but Stockton did not really look that impressive to me. What about you?
No, I don't think he did either, as much as as much as the hype was about him. Listening to some Georgia fans today on the radio, I don't think they're really impressed with him that too much either.
He seems like just a guy to me. Like he's, I think he's a Jag.
I think I think we'll kind of really see what kind of quarterback he is this weekend because now they got to go to Neyland.
Oh yeah. Well, that's another thing.
That's gonna be tough, because Tennessee fans gonna sell that place out. It's
Yeah,
gonna be
that's another
loud,
thing.
so
Like
yeah.
they were probably hoping to have a smooth, don't have to show too much, don't have to try too hard, walk away with a 45-7 win like they did in week one.
Yep.
And they actually had to fight a little bit, and they've got some bruises after that. So, you're welcome, Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tennessee, we bruised them up a little bit for you. I think, I mean, we're not going to do a Tennessee prediction, so I can probably say this now. I think Tennessee will beat them.
Yeah. Especially if Georgia comes out the way they did against us. Yeah, absolutely. I'd put money on it for sure.
So, yeah, I mean, 28-6. And if you look, I mean, I know it's not apples to apples, like weird stuff happens in football. But just look at last year, for example. Last year, when Austin Peay played a power conference team, it did not go nearly as well. Our quarterback died, and we lost by 50 points. So, I mean, I don't know how much you want to. It was actually 60 points, 62-0.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, that was a brand new team beginning of the season, but still, I mean, 62-0 to Louisville last year, and then this year 28-6 to Georgia, and it just looks different. I mean, I'm not delusional. Like, I'm not gonna say we're just behind Georgia. I mean, obviously not,
No.
but I don't think we looked like completely like we don't belong on the field.
Right. And I mean, let's just address the elephant in the room. The one thing that everybody keeps talking about is the goal line stand right before halftime. I
Right.
mean, that was, no offense to coach, obviously, but I'm still kind of confused on why he took the timeout.
Yeah, I don't know
And
if
the play by play guys seemed kind of puzzled by it as well. But I mean, at the end of the day, it ended up not costing them. But they took the timeout, and then you had the penalty, and then Georgia had three more opportunities after that and still couldn't get it in. So impressive by the defense for sure on that one.
I think it was probably the most impressive. It might be more impressive than beating Middle, just holding Georgia like that five
Yeah.
times. Like that's some big boy stuff. I mean, it goes against what you kind of are taught about FBS and FCS, where like the FBS team is always going to be bigger, faster, stronger. I mean, they held their own in the trenches with Georgia. I mean, that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was, a lot of the Georgia fans on Twitter were like, why are they so hype after that? Well, I mean, who wouldn't be?
Well, okay, sorry. Not everybody wins, SEC
Yeah.
championships every year. I mean, get over yourself. They were really mad though.
Yeah.
Like
No, they were.
Georgia fans were not happy at halftime, and that's the best thing you can hope for. I mean, when you're playing a game like this, that's the best. You love to see stuff like that. You want your opponent's fan base to be like melting down. So
And I think the other positive you can take away, I think they came out of that game pretty healthy too.
yeah, so I wanted to get that out of the way. I don't have an update. So Manly and Javius Bond left the game. I do not have an update on Manly right now, but Javius Bond, that would be a big loss. He is gonna be okay. It was precautionary. He was taken out, preserving him for the rest of the season. He'll be fine.
Yeah, definitely. You definitely need him, and you don't want to lose him in a game like that. You need him for your conference.
Yeah,
So that
so
was good that
nothing
he'll
to worry
be.
about there, I don't think. So yeah, he's gonna be good, I'm pretty sure. So that's good news. And like you said, your worst case scenario is what happened last year, where like Parson goes down or you know, Ellis goes down, you know, you don't want any of that to happen. And you got out of it pretty unscathed. We'll know more in a couple of days when we get the two deep. We'll have a better idea, but yeah, pretty good. We accomplished both of the goals I wanted to accomplish, and that was don't get embarrassed and don't get hurt. So I'm thrilled.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, they definitely got a lot more respect after this weekend.
Being ranked.
Then the win against MTSU. So and even they got some respect then. I think we even got a little bit more now. So got to appreciate that as a fan.
Yeah, did you want to get into that too? I'm sure most of you guys saw it, but the Govs did get ranked. So right ahead of, and I mean, you know, Chris, it was funny because we were talking about we wish that the Morehead State, the home opener, was after Middle Tennessee, like directly after. But we ended up – we have something to sell anyway because we just played great against Georgia and now we're ranked. Yeah. So that's enough motivation right there to pack the house. We're number 22 in the Stats Perform FCS Top 25. And then we are number 23 in the AFCA. So, you know, I think it's a little low, but we'll take it where we can get it.
Yeah, for now, I think that'll go up eventually. Like we said last week, we kind of wish this Morehead game was this past week, but now, you know, we fans even now that these guys are giving the fans even better excuse to not miss this game.
Yeah,
hopefully Gov Nation shows up this week because these guys deserve it for sure.
So unless you have anything else football related, we'll wrap it up here. I'm going to go over the other UAC scores.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I was actually about to I think four or five teams from the UAC are in the top 25.
Yeah, so you had Utah Tech lost to Northern Arizona 38-31. And Utah Tech has been – they're 0-2, but both of their losses are close against pretty solid teams. Eastern Kentucky beat Houston Christian. Eastern Kentucky's 1-1. Tarleton State just is an absolute wagon. They destroyed Mississippi Valley State. They're 3-0 already.
I think everybody does that to Mississippi Valley State, unfortunately.
True. But this is the one I want to talk about. West Georgia beat a ranked at the time. They're not going to be ranked anymore. West Georgia beat a ranked Nicholls State team easily at home, 34-10. West Georgia is now 2-0, and they have dominant wins over Samford and Nicholls. And they're ranked as well. They're 25th, I believe.
Yeah, that was an impressive win. Very impressive. It really shocked me. I was like, wow.
So you're looking at it, and obviously you're thinking. And you know what's crazy about West Georgia? I don't know if you looked at the box score. Their quarterback sucks. Like, he's horrible. But their running back had 100 – one of their running backs had 170 yards, and their quarterback had 103 yards rushing. So they just run the ball the whole game. Which, I mean, apparently it works. That was impressive. Central Arkansas beat Arkansas Pine Bluff. Arkansas Pine Bluff is terrible. They usually win like one game a year. So I don't really read much into that. SEMO beat North Alabama. So North Alabama falls to 0-2. Hate to see that.
Well, I actually watched a lot of that game. North Alabama went up by a touchdown early. And then SEMO rattled off 30 straight points. North Alabama scored two late there in the fourth to make it a little bit closer than it actually looked. I watched a lot of that game. Bounced back and forth between that and I think it was South Dakota State and Montana State. That was another good game.
Abilene Christian beat Stephen F. Austin to improve to 1-1. And then the last game. So this one's interesting. Southern Utah lost to San Diego. Did you happen to see the spread on that game before?
I did not. I want to imagine it was favoring Southern Utah quite a bit.
So Southern Utah was favored by 20.5.
Yeah.
Was San Diego projected to be that bad?
I don't really know, to be quite honest here.
I mean, that's a huge upset. San Diego was 20.5 point dogs, and they ended up winning by 3. So that's a bad loss for Southern Utah, man.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Well, I know San Diego is still in the Pioneer League, I believe.
Is that the same league that
– same league that Moorhead is in.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. And then, you know, speaking of the Pioneer League, and we're kind of getting off track, but Presbyterian is another Pioneer League team that is in the top 25. Has beaten 2 Southern teams. So FCS is so far throughout the first, I guess, 3 weeks now, just makes no sense. After the top, you know, after the top 5 teams. After that, it's a crapshoot.
Yeah. Well.
But, the other, you know, the other thing besides West Georgia that kind of stands out for me from USC point of view is EKU's win over Houston Christian. Houston Christian is usually not a very good team, and you only beat them by 10 on your own field. So that kind of surprised me a little bit. Not near as much as West Georgia. But
well, Eastern Kentucky also, like, not to cut you off, they also did not even put up a fight against Louisville.
Yeah.
So they got destroyed by Louisville, and they barely beat a really bad team. So I don't know. I'm probably a little down on EKU and Southern Utah.
Well, definitely on EKU. And yeah, after I didn't even know. I didn't really pay any attention to Southern Utah. I didn't realize they had lost that game. So yeah, that's rest of the conference looks pretty good though.
Yeah, I mean, even if EKU and Southern Utah are a little worse than we thought, I mean, it looks like West Georgia is a little better. So
oh yeah.
Utah Tech's a little better, so.
Yeah. I thought it was actually cool to see West Georgia, you know, their first 2 wins. I mean, they've been dominant in both of them.
You know, it's so cool. It's cool unless they beat us. Then it's.
Well, yeah. I mean, it won't. My mindset will change when it comes to that week. So. I don't see them. Well, I'll close them out for now.
Well, yeah, we'll get into the preview stuff Thursday. All right, so some non-football news. You want to hit us with that?
Yeah. So volleyball finally gets. You know, they had an exhibition win against Tuscaloosa. Then their first 5 matches of the year didn't go the way they wanted to, but they did get their first win over that school 70 miles up north.
Mm-hmm.
And they won in 5 sets. And that was actually their second matchup with Murray, who came here in the Stashville Challenge.
Yes.
So that was, they lost that one 3-1. So, you know, good for them to get their first win. And, now they're headed to the SIUE Cougar Classic with SIUE, Seattle, and Air Force. So, you know, maybe that'll be a good momentum for them to get a couple wins this weekend. And congrats to them on getting their first win. And then soccer, unfortunately, still not in the win column. But they did draw against Murray. seems like Murray will play us in anything but basketball and football.
Yeah, for real.
But, you know, I think I read something. Murray had over 27 shots on goal yesterday, which if you're not familiar with soccer, that's a lot. Unfortunately, that was a 0-0 draw, so – guys are still looking for that first goal of the year, unfortunately.
Who's next on the schedule?
Let's
see. I know they got conference play coming up soon.
Yeah, conference play starting up here pretty soon, maybe this weekend.
So I got it. It looks like the next game on the docket is Western Kentucky Thursday, okay. And then conference play.
Okay.
Yeah, the next Thursday. So September 18th, conference play starts at home. It's Bellarmine.
Yep. But yeah, I was gonna make sure still, I was correct. Nothing, so
you know, it hasn't been the greatest start to the season, but I mean, conference play hasn't even started. A lot could change.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, that's where you make a run to potentially go to the tournament. So that's what's important are the games or those conference games.
And then, yeah, I think we're probably good. Did you have anything else there?
No. No, I'm good.
All right. So, guys, we will be back Thursday night. I'm going through my notes, making sure I don't have anything else. So we'll be back Thursday night to talk about the preview for Morehead State. Oh, one more thing. So the lacrosse team is hosting their first ever practice on Wednesday morning, and it is open to the public. Anybody who wants to go can do that. You know, it'll be pretty cool. I'm going to try to get out there. So
that'd be pretty cool.
It'll be a cool, you know, the first lacrosse practice ever held on campus. So good luck to them. Hope that goes smoothly.
And I'm pretty sure there'll be another coaches show for football on Wednesday at Shelby's Trio. Went last Wednesday. I was kind of hoping there'd be a lot more people there. But so if you ain't got much going on Wednesday night, 6 o'clock, heading down to Shelby's Trio across from F&M Bank Arena.
Wednesday night, let's go. And then we'll be back Thursday night recording another episode for you guys. And then Saturday, I'll be at the fort. Chris hates me, so I don't know if he'll be there. All right, guys, let's go pee.
Let's go pee.
Hey, Govs fans, this is Dr. Kevin Kennedy Jr. If you're like me, you love cheering on Clarksville's hometown team because the Govs mean something special to our Clarksville community. From little Govs to lifelong Govs, our dental teams are here to serve your family for every need with specialists in kids dentistry at Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry to our experienced general dentist at Clarksville Dental Center. If you love our community and are looking to support businesses that do as well, we'd be honored to serve you. And hey, if you haven't heard yet, Spring Creek Pediatric Dentistry is the official sponsor of the Junior Govs Club, the premier club for kids to grow into lifelong Govs fans. Let's go, P.